Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Hi family, that is Romans and the song Vis Lich, Be the Light. And that's what we've been called to be. We have been called to be the light of the world, a city that cannot be hidden. Hey? We can't be hidden under the table. We have to be out there and show forth light. And there is no way that light will be seen if there's no darkness. So we are sent out. Even in that darkness, we are going out with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the one who is our strength. He is the one who carries us through and through. And I see you, Carol. How are you, my queen? Thank you so much. And this is what Carol writes. Radio Pulpit, my daily companion. Good afternoon, my queen. Sibongile. What a nice name I will give to it. I will give it to my baby girl once blessed. Greetings to the Radio Pulpit family. Stay blessed, family, wherever you are listening. And then she sends me the meaning of my own name. Yes, in Zulu, in Ndebele, in Xhosa, in all the Nguni languages, in all the Nguni languages, Sibongile means we are thankful. And we are. It is such a beautiful name. I'm grateful for my parents and my older sister. Ooh, now listen to me saying my older sister who gave me that name. So I got three names. I'm Sibongile, and I am Petronella, and I am Nogutula. Sibongile was given to me by my elder sister, Ujabulile. Petronella was given to me by my late father. Nogutula was given to me by my mom. So, yeah, and they're all in my ID. Mm-hmm. That's me right there. Thank you so much, my beautiful queen. I appreciate you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm now joined by Pastor Gladwell Zabani after a very long time of talking to him, but we are so blessed to connect yet again with Muruti. Muruti, how are you?
I am blessed of the Lord and very strong. Thank you so much, ma'am. How are you?
I am blessed of the Lord, and thank you so much for talking to us. It's been a minute.
Amen. Amen. No, it's indeed a blessing to connect with the rest of the family, and we thank the Lord for having kept us throughout all this time.
Amen to that. So, Muruti, we're talking to marriages. We know when it comes to marriages, we have a marriage therapist in you. You're ministering to many different marriages. And you're doing counseling, showing God's love in that space and helping them to become that union, that unity also that God has called them to be. Because I believe every family has got, or God has got a purpose with every family. And that is like really something which is like really awesome to see. But now when it comes to marriage, and you talking to different families and talking to different couples, do we understand what we are doing? Or are we thinking it's just all about love?
Yeah, you know, that's a very important question. And in my experience, working with particularly Christian couples, I've noticed that most Christian people don't really know what they have involved themselves into, because you sit down with a couple in a session and you ask them a simple question, what is marriage? And it becomes extremely difficult for people to answer that question.
But what is marriage, Murut?
Marriage is an exclusive relationship in which two people commit themselves to one another, and through the solemn vow they become one, and as they consummate their marriage, then they become one in flesh as well. It's an exclusive relationship. It excludes everybody else. It's purely between the husband and the wife, and it is entered into through the solemn vow, which is the covenant, the contract of the marriage. This is biblical, by the way. And in that way, they strive towards the unity or towards oneness between one another or towards oneness of one another as a couple. That is what marriage is. And I must emphasize, you know, since we're talking about this, that if you look at that biblical definition of marriage, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. If you look at that definition of marriage, it doesn't include other things. It doesn't include property. It doesn't include money.
Okay.
It doesn't include material things. It doesn't include any other thing except the two people coming together and entering into this covenant to begin an exclusive relationship. I'm mentioning these things and emphasizing on them because sadly the church has been infiltrated by the thinking that combines marriage with all these other things. And so as a result, what happens is these are things, the property, the material things, the money, the children, and other things, they come in there and they disturb the marriage life.
They are not marriage.
I beg your pardon?
They are not marriage.
No, they are not marriage. They are not at all marriage. But then we allow them to come in and they interfere with marriage.
Right.
Hence, when you look at reasons for divorce, you know, most of the time it has to do with external factors, things that are outside of the marriage.
What I have, what you have.
Exactly.
What you did.
What you did with whatever.
Who we allowed to be in between us.
Yes, you know, family,
children.
Siblings, children, money, material things, property, all these things are the actual reasons. And if you even look at the divorce cases, you realize that that question of the estate it becomes the main thing that complicates the whole divorce process.
Okay.
Which then tells us, you know,
so
how much we value these things above the marriage itself.
So what I've brought into the marriage.
Absolutely.
And what you brought and what we acquired.
Absolutely.
All right. So we have to be careful that those do not interfere. But now once we are in this marriage, what kind or what type of people should we be? When we're talking about the husband, as according to the word of God, what type of a husband should I be to my wife, and what type of a wife should I be to my husband? Let me greet Pastor Pepisile Khabotsotetsi, my queen. Thank you so much for tuning in and being with us. Another family member also, your last digits are 636. Thank you so much, my family, for being with us, and all other family members. I also see Hector. Hi, Hector. Thank you for being with us. So what kind of a husband or type of a husband am I expected to be as according to the word? Does the word stipulate who should I be in this marriage?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The word does, you know. And I'm glad that we're talking about the word, because another thing that is messing up the church in these modern days is the very question of modernism, where the church now sources information from the world, from social media, from, you know, other platforms like that. And the word of God has been relegated to the backseat. And that's where we get in trouble.
Okay.
So now, the word does stipulate very clearly. For example, if we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, I will read it in the New Living Translation. It says, then, this is God speaking to the woman now. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen your pain of pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you notice the next statement, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
Okay.
So, the first thing that we see there is that the husband, according to the Bible, is designated to the position of chief of the household, And priest of the home in spiritual matters, he is to lead. He is to become the leader. He is to become the one who rules over his wife and over his household. Okay. Now, that's the Bible. Okay.
So he has to serve his wife and lead by example.
He has to provide the leadership.
Okay.
In his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means any husband who cannot provide leadership, you can provide other things, but if you can't provide leadership, then you are not in the place that the
How
Bible
do we define this leadership, Moruti? We have dictatorship, we have different types of leadership. So, what kind is expected in here?
Leadership is, biblically speaking, is the ability to give direction, number one.
Okay.
Number two, it is the ability to teach. And number three, it is the ability to, to bring discipline into the marriage and into the household. Now, that's biblically speaking. You know, there are many scriptures that point to that. You look at Moses, for instance. He was a leader. Another thing that I need to add to that is that leadership means to be knowledgeable. Now, if as a husband I'm not knowledgeable and I don't know, for example, what marriage is, I don't know what my role is as a husband. I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to provide. I may be able to provide material things. There's nothing wrong with that. I may be able to do that. But if I cannot provide the leadership, if I cannot become a leader who teaches, who guides, that's the word I'm looking for, who teaches, who guides, who informs, and who directs, in other words, who points the direction, then it means I'm leading my wife and my marriage into disaster.
Okay. Moruti, I need a practical example. I need a practical example. Of if we say a man is not leading in his family, because it's very hard for me as a woman to think of any man who doesn't lead his family. I'm sorry, but yes, God has called men into leadership in their families, but men love it and they want you to know and remember that I'm the head. So give me a practical example of a family where man is not leading.
Okay. Can I begin with the biblical side of a biblical example?
Are you taking us to Eli?
To Genesis chapter 3.
Okay.
Verse number 8 to verse number 12. And the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." That's Adam and his wife, man.
Mm-hmm.
"And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked.'" Mm. Now listen to what he said. "And I hid myself. And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Mm. Have you eaten the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat?' And the man said, 'The woman that you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.'" So now there's an example there of poor leadership in a marriage situation, where Adam knew the truth. He knew exactly what was supposed to happen. He knew what they were supposed to do and what they were not supposed to do, but he listened to his wife. Mm. And if you read a little further in that portion of scripture, you will hear how God addresses Adam in this case regarding his actions. Mm. Remember that Adam said, "The woman that you gave to me, she gave me the fruit and then I ate." And then now, God says in verse number 14.
Mm.
No, not 14. 14 is where God is addressing the serpent. Mm. All right. Then we go down to verse 17.
Mm.
And to the man, he said, since, now listen to this statement carefully, since you listened to your wife
mm-hmm.
and ate from the tree whose food I commanded you not to eat,
yeah.
the ground is cursed because of you.
Yeah.
So the earth was cursed because Adam listened to his wife and went against God.
All right, pause it right there. All right, I'm coming back. Adam listened to his wife. I'm packing there. and he was cursed as a result of that. A cursing went in, to him. Okay, let's answer these questions quickly and then come back to mine. Willebrods will understand what God says about marriage exactly. God talks about husbands. I'm not quite sure that question there, Vili. But I think he wants to understand what marriage is again, according to the Bible.
Okay, like I said, if we look at chapter 2 of Genesis, and we look at verse number 24, the Bible says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Now, let's stop right there. The first thing is to leave, which means for a marriage to exist between two people, there has to be a leaving, right? In this case, he says a man leaves his father and his mother
and
is joined to his wife.
Mm.
So the two people must leave their families, their parents, because it doesn't say he leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife and her family.
Okay.
Right. He's joined to his wife, one wife, she alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, and then he continues to say, and the two are united into one.
Mm.
Now, to explain it further, if you look at the statement that says the two are united into one, if you go to the Hebrew, you will discover that it gives an explanation of like an example, like two oxen that are yoked together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which means the marriage now, the marriage agreement becomes the yoke that
binds the two together.
Mm-hmm. When two oxen are yoked together, they have to move at the same pace. They have to go in the same direction. They have to turn in the same direction. Why? Because of the yoke.
Mm.
Which means the yoke says you've got to move together. And notice something else. You yoke the two oxen only, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can put others behind, but at the end of the day, in a marriage situation, the two oxen or the two people are yoked together, which means they have to move together.
Right.
And that's the oneness and the unity that the Bible is talking about. And this is where then, I come in to say, when you bring other people in there and you bring other things in there, that's going to interfere with that yoking of the two oxen.
Okay. And greetings to Patience Nqobile Nyathi. Hello to you. Now, Pastor Pepsile is asking a question as well. Are we able to separate leadership from provision? Some men stop leading when their pockets are low.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting question.
There is
a very huge difference between leadership and provision. And I will show you. If we look into the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God put everything in the garden that was good for food and that was pleasant to the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's Genesis chapter 2. Now, Adam did not bring anything into the garden. God put Adam into the garden to manage the resources that God himself had provided. That's the first point. Now, then, later on, in the very same chapter 2, when you get to verse 18, Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. So which means that Eve, the woman, was introduced into the life of the man to help him. But the question is to help him do what? To help him work in the garden.
Okay.
Because the Lord God planted, if you look at verse 15, the Bible says the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. So that was his job. That was his work. Now, in chapter, in verse 18, the woman is introduced to help him. To help him do what? To help him tend and care for the garden and watch over the garden. Another thing that you must look at to see and understand the difference biblically between leadership and provision is that Adam had everything. Adam and Eve had everything in the garden. In other words, they had all the resources in the garden. But Adam still needed to bring the leadership to say, because if you look at verse numbers 16 of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. This is a clear instruction. But that instruction was violated in chapter 3 when the woman, without consulting with her husband, simply took the fruit because she desired it. She ate the fruit, and then she gave to her husband. He did nothing about it. He didn't say anything. He didn't correct her. He didn't lovingly correct her and make her aware that this is wrong.
Okay. You're
not supposed to do it.
All right.
So as much as they had all the resources,
yeah,
he lacked the leadership. He still could not lead.
All right. Okay. Vili, I see your message. And he says, I'm Afrikaans, I cannot know. Sometimes when he writes, yeah, it gets a little confusing. But hi, I got the gist, I think. And I think Muruti responded to you very well right there. And also he was adding, Vili added to say, Diman is the wefandi, yes, he is the head of the house. And then Muruti was also responding right there to Pastor Pep Sile, Khavotso Tetsi. And hello to Sir Frank Jacobs. Your Excellency, thank you for joining in. And so as you're responding to Muruti Khavotso Tetsi, what comes is we got stuck there when Adam listened to his wife. So it brings questions to say, how far should a man listen to his wife? What is the right way? What is the right way of listening to your wife? Because then it brings all sorts of questions, concerns. I don't want to come to a point where men are saying, no, 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 the Bible doesn't expect a wife to say a thing in the house.
Yeah, no, no, no. That's not what we are saying, and that's not what the Bible is saying.
So what does the Bible say?
Now, look, number one, the best way to be able to listen to your wife is, number one, remember I said a husband must be leadership, needs to be knowledgeable.
Yes.
So he must make himself knowledgeable as far as the word of God is concerned. Then whenever she brings the advice, any advice, or she takes any course of action, as long as it lines up with the word of God and with the will of God, then you listen to that advice.
Oh, okay.
But if she does anything that goes against the will of God, I'll give you a quick example. Abraham, God told him, I have made you a father of many nations. Sarah came in and said, look, let's take Hagar and let her give birth to children on our behalf. Abraham listened to his wife. And he did that, and the result was consequences that were undesirable.
Okay.
Abraham right then needed to stand up and say, no, I hear you, my wife. I understand your concern. However, this is what the
what
Lord
God said. Ah, okay. All right. So which means that even Adam had to say to Eve, this is what God had said, so we're not going to eat that.
Absolutely.
The Bible doesn't say anything. I'm just wondering if he did that, I wonder if there would have been a curse still, or God would have excused it, because yes, Eve has eaten, but because now he corrected it, maybe we wouldn't be where we were at. Maybe we'd still be in the garden.
Absolutely. No, when you read the Bible, that's what you get, because they were expelled from the garden because of that disobedience.
Okay.
So had they obeyed, you know, life as we know it now on earth would be the way it was before the fall.
Okay. Now, Koli, hi, my queen, how are you? Saying hi, Sfongile and Muruti Zabani, learning a lot. God bless you. Thank you so much for choosing us as your number one radio station. A family member is asking a question. Now, Muruti, the Bible says that love your wives as your own bodies, as you love your own bodies. What does it exactly mean for a husband? All right, Muruti, that's the question on the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to love your wife as your own body simply means you take care of your wife, you protect your wife, because that's another role of a husband, is to protect his wife and his family. So it means you love, you care for her, you protect her. But then to understand it very well, you need to go back and look at the Greek definition of the word love.
Okay.
And you need to look at agape, the God kind of love, which is a love that loves firstly from a standpoint of principle rather than a standpoint of feeling, which means, number one, any husband who does not establish principles that he and his wife are going to live by is going to encounter great difficulty in marriage. So if you are not principled, you're going to have problems. And you won't be able to love your wife. Number two, it is a adape means to hold someone in high regard. That means to respect your wife in the same way that you would respect your own self and your own body.
Okay.
Number three, agape means to regard someone with favor, which means that you favor in the same way that you favor your body. You know, as much as we take care of our bodies, we don't want them to get sick, we don't want them to have infections, we don't want them to experience pain and hurt and injury. This is the kind of protection, the kind of care, the kind of love that a husband must give to his wife, loving her as he loves his own body. He must make a decision to say, I'm going to love my wife, not necessarily based on how I feel, but based on the principles that I have established to live by. So for me to be able to love my wife, I have to be a principled man. That is why men who are not principled end up losing their position as leader of the family, number one. In other words, they experience rebellion from the wife. Number two, men who are not principled end up standing by and the wife doing as she pleases. And that is going to mess up the marriage. Because that's not how God said it to be. Now, we can argue with it as much as we want to. The world will argue and tell you about rights and tell you about all these other things. That's the world. That's not what the word tells you. The word says the husband must lead, is the head. If you look at the question of headship itself, you will realize that it actually refers to authority.
Okay.
When the Bible talks about headship, it means that the husband must assume authority in his marriage and in his family life. And so as a result, when a man loses his ability to become the head of his wife, that's where, you know, problems begin.
Okay. Let's take a break and then come back. I don't think we are even going to get to the wife today. Oh, Lord, help us to get somewhere. Lenny says, batla ba re bolaisa ba o ba babedi ba o bona re patala mabone ka jeno. Talking about Adam and Eve, that they got us into trouble, and today we are now even paying for the lights. Lenny. Oh, this one is coming from Vusi. The interesting part is it seems like Eve ate and nothing happened. Only after Adam ate did they notice the change, that they were naked. So exactly what Murut was talking about, Vusi, that he was supposed to do something. Oh, Eve, that is a mistake. Girl, you're not supposed to be eating that. But yeah, we are paying lights today. Let's take a break. We're coming back. In the background, the sounds of the late Sipoka Leni featuring Mabongi Mabaso, the Garden of Love. And yeah, I'm with Pastor Letwell Zavani talking about the type of wife and husband you ought to be in your marriage.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. A companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
Masim to me is a Hokong at our 5 o'clock exene no ayanda nenem. Sia tandaza, sia tumisa, sikia ilizwi no bunina u krestu. Let's praise him. Ku Radio Pulpit. 657 AM.
And that's where you were at Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. And I'm Sibongile Mofokeng at Heart to Heart with you up until 3 o'clock. Just now, in a short while, we'll be saying hello to Germany, Johan Els on Something Else. And right now, I'm still with Pastor Letwell Zavani. We're talking about the type of husband you ought to be as according to the word, and also the type of wife you ought to be. I don't think we're going to touch the wife anytime soon today. And we're just about to wrap up. Murute, I just want us to listen to a message here from one family member. I think it's Evangelist Grayston or Pastor Grayston.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. I've been listening to the conversation. My name is Evangelist Gracious. I just want to take you to Ephesians chapter 5, where the Bible illustrates the two people. All right. The woman is likened to the church, and the man is likened to Christ himself. And according to the Bible, if a man is likened to Jesus, yeah, for example, and the woman is likened to the church, mm-hmm, I don't think there is any conversation apart from prayer. So it is the church that listens to the head, to Christ, and it is the church that, mm-hmm, takes instructions from Christ. We know it as the body of Christ. We call ourselves the body of Christ, meaning the woman is the body of a man. And of course, Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about that we are one body. So it's like my body is my wife's body, and my wife's body is my body. And that also takes me to John chapter 15, verse 7, where Christ is talking about us being in him and his word being in him. in us. All these are actually talking about marriage. So the marriage between man and Christ is the same, it's supposed to be the same as a marriage between a man and a woman. You know, I can't speak everything here, but that's how I can sum it up. Thank you so much, Spongili. I love the topic and I'm enjoying it. Actually, I laughed myself at some point when I heard you, when Maruti said, Adam listened to the woman and you were... I was actually laughing. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much, Spongili.
Ooh, I'm getting into trouble. Maruti Zabani, are you still there? Oh my. Maruti Zabani? Ah, Maruti, when we are just about to close. All right, let me quickly try to get hold of Maruti. I wonder why we got lost there with Maruti Gladwell Zabani. So it is Radio Pulpit Heart to Heart, and we're talking about the type of husband and the type of wife that the Bible expects us to be. And we ought to glorify him in our roles, right? It's always awesome to get it right. It's always awesome to find the direction from the Lord first, more than any other people, but to learn from the Lord. And now Pastor Grayston talking about the husband loving the wife like Christ loves the church. I'm not quite sure why am I not getting through to Pastor Gladwell Zabani, trying to get hold of him. Let me do this in the meantime.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
All right, we are just wrapping up now. Vashon, we're going to put you on hold, man. We'll come back to you. And that is Joy by Vashon Michelle. And I'm back with Maruti. Maruti, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, let's put that song on hold. We'll play out with the same song. And I think, Maruti, you say you heard up until here.
Oh. Yeah. So it is the church that listens to the head, to Christ. And it is the church that takes instructions from Christ. We know it as the body of Christ. We call ourselves the body of Christ, meaning the woman is the body of a man. And of course, Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about that we are one body. So it's like my body is my wife's body, and my wife's body is my body. And that also takes me to John chapter 15, verse 7, where Christ is talking about us being in him and his word being in us. All these are actually talking about marriage. So the marriage between man and Christ is the same, it's supposed to be the same as a marriage between a man and a woman. You know, I can't speak everything here, but that's how I can sum it up. Thank you so much, Spongili. I love the topic and I'm enjoying it. Actually, I laughed myself at some point when I heard you, when Maruti said, Adam listened to the woman and you were... I was actually laughing. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much, Spongile.
Maruti, let's wrap it up.
The most important point that I want to point out is that as husbands, we need to understand the importance of leadership and learn what leadership actually means in order for husbands to be able to lead in their marriage. And keep in mind, marriage is an exclusive relationship. It's purely between husband and wife and no one else.
And so, as Grayson says, we need to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. I'm not a man. But men ought to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ how to be great husbands. I think he's a great teacher in that regard. There's another question here concerned, but I'm unable to go through it. My queen, can we save it for next time? Muruti, thank you so much for coming through and equipping us on this. We ought to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through our marriages. And may God keep keeping you. We love you so much. Pass our love and greetings to Mamoruti and the family. We'll be in contact with you again. We need to continue. We have to finish the husband and come to the wife. Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you so much. God bless you.
And we'll pray at the end. So thank you.
Okay.
Have a great one, Muruti. Bye.
Great one. Bye.
He is Gladwell Zabani on Facebook and all other social media platforms. He is Gladwell Zabani. You can find him on his email address, gladwellzabani@gmail.com. Gladwell Zabani with an E at the end at gmail.com. You can also send him a WhatsApp or call him on 071-148-4938. It's 071-148-4938. I'm signing out. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of our Lord Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's meet tomorrow in the morning at 9 o'clock on Just For You. I'm there up until 11 o'clock. Next up, we say hello to Dramini Johan Els and Vusi Leo on the controls. Vili, I leave you with the same sounds from Vashon Michel, and the song is Joy.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.